brought to you Scenic Drive every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. This is We All Fall Down, and I'm your host. My name is Mary L. I'm very out of it right now. It's not that I'm tired. It's more that, like, I think my body is exacting revenge on me for not getting enough sleep. I don't know. There have been midterms. I work closing shifts only, and so by the time I get home, and I actually, like, yeah, by the time I can't even think right now. Get home from work, have something to eat, take a shower, do some studying. By the time I get to bed, it's 5 in the morning, right? And so how much sleep do I actually get every week? I don't really know, and I couldn't answer that for you. My brain can't calculate or comprehend those kind of numbers right now. And you see, like, when I only started this, like, weird sleeping pattern thing the beginning of the school year, because I go to school full time, and so that the only times I'm available to work are in the evenings, and those are always closing shifts. And so when I first started taking on all these closing shifts, I was like, oh, it'll be fine. It's okay. I'll be really tired by the end of the day, but I'll just go home and crash. And I don't know, it just so happened that every time I came back from work, I came home, I, you know, got all my crap together, got everything done, and I was like, well, I'm already up. I might as well do all these things. And I think I just kept pushing my sleeping schedule further forward each and every time. And I keep telling myself that one day, like, I'll just, you know, everything will go back to normal and I'll stop falling asleep at 5 in the morning. But I think my body's just gotten used to naturally getting tired at around 5 in the morning now. And so I've gotten to this, like, terrible cycle in which I, even if I don't work and I come home really early from whatever and I don't have anything to do in the evening, I won't be able to physically fall asleep until 5 in the morning, which kind of screws me over because I have class the next day. Yay. And so that is me trying to justify maybe my, I might be a bit incoherent. Maybe I don't make sense. Maybe I start rambling, like right now. So I'm sorry. Maybe I should just stop that and get to the music that you probably want to hear. I'm playing my interview with The Sword today because The Sword are playing a show this coming Tuesday. They're opening up for Trivium. Trivium, who just released a brand spanking new album, which I will also play for you later on today during the show. But I will play my interview with The Sword probably near the end of the show, and you're definitely going to want to stick around for it because it is the single most entertaining interview that I've ever conducted with anyone before. I thoroughly enjoyed doing this interview, and it gets so nerdy by about, like, actually no, it starts off really nerdy and just kind of stays that way for the whole interview. So I don't want to let the cat out of the bag or anything, because I definitely want you guys to listen to this interview because a bit of work went into it and it turned out to be quite awesome. So stay tuned for that in just a bit. I will play some brand new Cancer Bats. Yes, why not? This is off of their newest album, Birthing the Giant. It's a song called Diamond Mind on CITR.
You're selling deception.
in a band in high school, and this one time, our drummer's dad was having a birthday party. I don't remember how old he was, turning like 52 or something like that. And he asked us to play at his birthday party thingamajigger, and he specifically wanted us to play Desperado by the Eagles. When he pitched this idea to us, we were a bit hesitant, but we pulled it off for him anyways, just because he was such an awesome guy and he was our drummer's dad, whatever. It was a nice family thing. But I remember when the band was practicing this song, everyone was like, oh, this is such a nice, sweet song. I'm sure he'll really enjoy it. At one point, I was like, hey, guys, I have an idea. I think we should speed this up and do it double time and do like a punk rock cover of this. And everyone just kind of stared at me and totally shot me down silently. And so I never saw that dream manifest until today. Me First and the Gimme Gimmes have a brand new album called Love Their Country. I think this comes out next Tuesday, or it already did. I'm not sure, but I'll find out and I'll tell you later. They cover Desperado by the Eagles, and this is how I imagined it sounding in my head, but it never happened for me.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. You're a hard one, but I know that you've got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Such a drama queen of diamonds, boy, she beats you if she's able. The queen of hearts is always your best bet. And now she's to me so fine. Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no younger. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, freedom, some people are talking. Your prison is walking through this world all alone. And don't your feet get cold in the wintertime? The sky will snow and the sun will shine. It's hard to tell the nighttime from the day. You're losing all.
What is up? You're listening to CITR 101.9. It's Liam from the Cancer Bats. Fuck yeah, Metallica!
Sweet. I totally got Liam to do that PSA after I interviewed the Cancer Bats. Hopefully you caught that interview last week, because I also had fun doing that interview as well. But not as much fun as I had when I interviewed The Sword, which I will be playing later for you today, probably in about 20 minutes or so. Yes, let's just guess that time. That was Me First in the Gimme Gimmes off of their latest album, Love Their Country. That song was a cover of the Eagles, Desperado. And before that, I played the Cancer Bats off of their album, Birthing the Giant. That song was called Diamond Mine. If you ever wanted to check out what I played on my show or any of my previous week's playlists, you can check out all of those at, what was the address? www.weallfalldowncitr.blogspot.com. And I do update that fairly regularly, just for your viewing pleasure. If you want to give me a call here in the studio, you can do so at 604-822-2487. That's 822-CITR. And the whole thing actually spells out UBC-CITR if you're like terrible with numbers like I am. What do I have for you now? Trivium? Yes, I told you that they are playing a show here in Vancouver at the Croatian Cultural Center this coming Tuesday, that is October 24th. They're playing with The Sword and also Protest the Hero. Trivium just released a brand new album 2 weeks ago, I believe, called The Crusade, and people are getting quite excited about it just because it sounds like Metallica, back when Metallica were really, really good. So, you know, magazines like Metal Hammer and everything are going nuts for this new album. So perhaps if you have not heard it before, I will play it for you now, and you will probably think the exact same thing, because I get the exact same reaction from everyone. Like, before I tell them anything about it and I play this album for them, they all come back to me and say, like, oh, that sounds like Metallica back in the day. I've had, like, at least 7 people tell me that, so perhaps you will think the exact same thing.
Freestyle! is the liberal host of Democracy Now! It's on right before Anarchy Later. Please welcome Amy Goodman.
Saturday, October 28th at 8 p.m., CITR, CJSF, and Co-op Radio present an exclusive talk with award-winning journalist and host of Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman, at the Alice McKay Room in the Vancouver Central Public Library. Tickets can be purchased at Banyan Books, Spartacus Books, Co-op Books, Sophia Books, CITR Radio, Co-op Radio, and CJSF. Amy Goodman, Saturday, October 8th at 8 p.m., brought to you by CITR, CJSF, and Co-op Radio.
It's called Unembedded Independent International News. That's what we do.
You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. This is We All Fall Down, and I'm your host. My name is Marielle. That was Strike Anywhere off of their newest album, Dead FM. That song was called 2000 Voices. Prior to that, you heard The Subhumans off of their latest New Dark Age Parade. That song was Shut Your Eyes. Before that, The Dead Cats off of Feline 500. The song was called Peggy Suicide. And I started off that set with Trivium off of The Crusade. That song was Entrance of the Conflagration. I don't know what that word means. So smart. Trivium are playing a show this Tuesday, and you better I'll be there. I will be there, and it will be a sweet piece of meat, that show. The Sword are opening up, and I will be playing my interview with The Sword in just a minute, but not before I tell you about other shows that are going in and around, going on in and around Vancouver. I can do this. The Real Mackenzies are playing with Raised by Wolves, Los Furios, and the Dreadnoughts November 2nd at the Red Room. A couple of days later, you can check out the Islands, Besnard Lakes, and Subtitle. They are playing, November 4th, at the Student Union Building Ballroom here at UBC. GWAR is coming back to Vancouver November 9th with other bands that apparently don't even matter. No, I'm sorry, I'm joking. The other bands that are playing are Municipal Waste and The Red Cord. That is happening at the Commodore Ballroom. And if I remember correctly, tickets are probably kind of pricey for that. Just GWAR seems to charge a lot, and in my mind, I don't know why they seem to charge a bit more than concerts should usually cost, but in my mind, I tell myself it's because they need to recoup the cost of all that fake blood and all those props that they use and all the actors that they hire. But it's entertaining. I saw GWAR play at the Sounds of the Underground show, and man, what a highlight that was. Norma Jean are coming to town with Between the Buried and Me, Misery Signals, and a whole slew of other metalcore bands November 10th at the Croatian Cultural Center. Sparta are playing with the Sound Team November 14th at Richards on Richards. I've been telling you about the Bad Amps' supposed last show. Last week I told you it was happening November 18th, but I actually just talked to them. I've been emailing them and stuff, and that show probably is not happening because I believe one of the other bands has pulled out. So I will definitely let you know when the Bad Amps are playing their supposed last show when the details reach me. what else is going on. Oh, and then way in December, we have And You'll Notice by the Trail of Dead with the Blood Brothers and Celebration. They're all playing December 10th at the Croatian Cultural Center. And You'll Notice by the Trail of Dead are coming out with a new album in the beginning of November. And the Blood Brothers just released a brand new album called Young Machetes, which I highly recommend that you all check out right now. Right now? Yes, right now. No, when you have time, silly. When you have time. What else do I have for you? I have a little PSA for you right now. Some of my friends are helping to organize Gulu Walk 2006, Forum on International Cooperation UBC, in conjunction with the Liu Institute for Global Affairs, is proud to present Gulu Walk 2006. This walk is dedicated to the displaced children of war-torn northern Uganda. Gulu Walk is the largest fundraiser of its type in the world, and this is happening Saturday, October 21st. That is this Saturday. So they highly recommend that you come out and join over 2,700 participants from 15 different countries, as Vancouver does its part in helping this very important cause. You can register online at their website, which is www.guluwalk.com. That's G-U-L-U walk, all one word, .com. And it's happening in Trout Lake Park at 3 o'clock this Saturday. Sounds quite excellent to me. And it's all for a good cause as well. What do we have going on now? Ah, I know what it is time for. It is time for... What is happening? Computers don't like me. I don't know why. Okay, there we go. I have my interview with... I interviewed Brian, who is the bassist from The Sword, and it was quite fun. I don't even want to start talking about it. I'm just going to jump right into it. And as always, I have bookended my interview with some music by said band, The Sword. The first song that I will be playing is Freya off of Age of Winters, and then when the interview is over, you will hear Winter's Wolves off of the same album, Age of Winters, and hopefully they'll be releasing some type of new album in the near future or so. I would love to see more stuff from these guys. So without further ado, I now present my most beautiful baby, the interview that I have conducted with The Sword. I hope you enjoy this, guys, because I really enjoyed doing this interview with them. Oh, balls. How did that happen? Oh, sometimes I just... Oh, sometimes I hate life. I'm sorry, I didn't... This is terrible. I don't even have anything to play for you right now. Burley is our... Is our thingy, is our program here at CITR that's supposed to help us edit digital things and record things and then play interviews, and it's supposed to do that. And I pressed play, and then it stopped, and it's being stupid, and I'm not having a very good day, and I'm being very cranky right now, and I don't even have any CDs lined up for you. So I guess I'll just have to ramble a bit while I try to figure this out. Oh, God, what do I have here? I do not want to play Strike Anywhere for you again. I'm very sorry, guys. I've been caught thoroughly unprepared for this. Oh, Jesus. Jeez, people. I'm going to try this again, and if it doesn't work, I perhaps am maybe going to cry. Maybe. Crying might be in order, or I don't know. First off, the first question that I have is, I wanted to know where you came up with the name The Sword, because I figured if you guys were going to go down that path, why didn't you just go all the way? Like, why didn't you just choose, like, Halberd or Morningstar or something?
Ooh, I don't know. I think JD just wanted to keep it really simple, and you know, he likes swords, and,
okay.
It's when, you know, I think he was really surprised that there wasn't a band called The Sword. Mm-hmm. You know, there had been Sword from, like, Montreal, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then there was, like, you know, bands with, like, various, like, sword something or other. Or there was, like, plural usage of the word sword, but never, like, The Sword. Mm-hmm. So I think when you kind of realized that, it was like, all right, that's the band name.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'd agree.
Okay. All right, so in October, you guys are going to hit the road with Trivium, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so are you guys going to plan any extravagant, like, stage props or epic battle scenes or stuff like that?
We've got, like, some battle standards with some flags and whatnot that we're planning on bringing.
Nice.
But that's probably about it. We're not too eccentric on the stage performance or anything like that. You're not going to see us flailing around and swinging our guitars and whatnot.
Okay. But tell me, you guys are going to have, like, medieval weaponry at your merch booth, or at least, like, chainmail instead of zip-up hoodies?
Well, most of the time they actually don't let us bring that stuff into the club. So we do carry a rather large broadsword with us at all times, just in, you know, in dealing with promoters and whatnot. Sometimes you have to have a little bit of a heavy hand.
Fair enough. Have you ever had to resort to using that?
You know, I don't think I'm really at liberty to say. I don't want to get involved in any, like, you know, where, you know, the dude that, you know, may or may not have happened to, happens to read about it. And, you know, it could be a lawsuit or something.
Okay. All right. So what's the songwriting process like? Because I would imagine you guys would, like, sit down and watch Lord of the Rings or Beowulf or something before you get down to writing songs. Like, do you guys have a ritual or something like that? Or do the lyrics just come naturally?
No, it usually just kind of, the riffs just come as they please.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they trickle to us from the heavens and whatnot, and then we're able to receive them at certain points. But, like, it's never, like, we don't ever really sit around and consciously, like, try to brew up our riffs. It's more of a, they just kind of come to us, and then we work on them all together.
Oh, okay. And so you just kind of get, like, inspiration from the heavenly gods to ask,
exactly,
like, what content to write about?
There you go.
Okay. All right. That's pretty awesome. Do you play Dungeons & Dragons?
I personally don't.
Okay. Well, there goes
But I know people that do.
Okay.
And they shall remain nameless.
Oh, okay. But if you did, what kind of character would you be?
I would probably be some sort of, like, dark elf.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Going to skip the next few questions then. So I myself am a classical studies major here at the university, and I'm very interested in mythology and medieval studies and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. So would you personally have any recommendations on ancient texts, myths, or medieval literature that you'd recommend?
Let me ask Trivet here. Trivet, do you have any recommendations on medieval literature or texts that people should read?
No.
Trivet doesn't really have anything. I'm not much of a reader. I like books with pictures.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. Do you play Gauntlet Legends?
Do I play what?
Gauntlet Legends, the video game, the arcade game?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I had that for my Dreamcast, my Sega Dreamcast.
Nice. Who is your character?
I personally, you know, the dwarf or the warrior, you know?
Really?
One of the two.
I was more of a green archer person.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the range with the green archer. That is definitely something that is a valuable tool.
And you have the speed. You have the speed, and so you can run around with everybody and collect all the food and items.
Oh, dude, so you're one of those kinds. See, I wouldn't want to play with you then, because you'd probably be hogging all the meat treats.
Well, that's what it's all about. I like food. I like food. All right, so Norse mythology tells us that duality, or a belief in opposites, is the foundation of this world. So, for example, we have the two horses of day and night, Skinfaxi and Hrimfaxi. So if this is true, who or what is the opposite of the sword? Like, who is your antithesis?
Who is the opposite of the sword?
Yeah.
Tarantula AD.
Who?
It's another band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you gotten into little riffs with them?
No, not at all. They're our brothers in arms.
Oh, okay.
But they're also our polar opposites.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Can you have that at the same time?
I'd say we can.
Okay.
No, I don't. I mean, there's definitely not any, like, I mean, we're not a band of dudes that are going to go try to, you know, seek out any problems. We're four of the most low-key bros you're going to meet, so we always try to keep it cool with everyone.
Okay, okay, cool. So what would you say is your favorite movie based on mythology or medieval literature? Like Lord of the Rings, Clash of the Titans, King Arthur, stuff like that.
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't, God, does Legend count?
Legend count?
Yeah, does Legend with Tom Cruise, does that one count?
I would count that one. Kind of has, like, yeah.
And then what about, like, Crawl? That's not really any sort of, like, mythology to do with Crawl, though.
No, that's
just a wicked movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Man, that's a good one. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings movies are totally bitching.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'll be real standard and just say The Two Towers.
The Two Towers?
Yeah, sure.
You really? Because a lot of people say Return of the King just because it's the last and, you know, the big climactic finish.
Well, The Two Towers, you know, if you weren't familiar with the books, you know, it was kind of like, ooh, what's going to happen?
Oh, true.
Me being, you know, a non-reader.
Yeah.
I was not familiar with the books. It was quite a joy to me to see that second one and be like, wow, some crazy shit's going to go down in this third one. Woo!
So you had never read the books for Lord of the Rings?
No,
ahead of
never.
Time. Wow, okay.
No, I had them, like, summarized to me by a roommate once that was reading them while we were on tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, that's cool. That sounds pretty cool. But, you know, I don't know, man. I can't read, really. Like, I can read.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But when it comes to actually, like, reading a page in a book, I get about three paragraphs in, and then I'm in my head making up my own story. So that's the end of reading.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'm a huge reader myself. I read the entire Lord of the Rings series.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And I actually... I read the appendices in the Lord of the Rings books, and I taught myself how to write in dwarvish runes.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and shout that out with a holla.
Holla.
That's awesome.
Thanks. Okay. I lost my place. Okay, so I wanted to ask about the videos for Freya and Winter's Wolves, because I just saw them on YouTube, and I totally love them. Do you think maybe in the future you would integrate more epic battle scenes into the next one, maybe?
Well, I mean, we definitely talked about that with the guys that were on hand filming the smaller epic battle scene for Freya.
Uh-huh.
And apparently we can get up to, like, 200 extras at a time. So
nice.
It would be, you know, willing to recreate, like, some sort of medieval battle scene. So I don't know. I don't know if there'll be any more videos for this album, but for another one, you know, I would definitely not rule the gigantic medieval battle scene out of the realm of possibility for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, so for your next album, are you guys going to explore different cultural mythologies, or do you think you're going to stick to, like, the Nordic and medieval European topics?
I don't know. I mean, I guess only time will tell with, you know, what the actual content is. But I mean, my own personal thought is that we'll probably stick to our guns mm-hmm. and keep doing what we're doing. I don't see us branching out and writing any songs about, like, Palestine or any sort of, like, Muslim conflict or anything like that. I think okay. we'll probably keep it pretty old school.
All right. All right. Fair enough. I find your band, The Sword, a very unique one because of your lyrical content and also because of your sound. I find that there aren't a lot of bands right now that would consider themselves like stoner metal bands. So who would you cite as some of your influences? Because seriously, the only band that I could think up of as like most similar to you guys would be the band Nile. Have you heard of them?
Oh, of course I've heard of Nile. Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, you know, my personal thought is we sound nothing like Nile, but that's killer because I love Nile. Mm-hmm. But man, I mean, obviously, you know, we personally hear Black Sabbath, you know, right. all the time. People scream it at us while we're playing, stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, you know. Like, that's kind of the main reason I joined this band is because it kind of didn't sound like anything else that was out and around
yeah.
at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just kind of like a punch in my face, like, whoa.
Nice.
Kick ass, you know.
It is,
with
I think
bass player, oh, I'm on it, you know. So, yeah, I don't really have a good who we would best compare to, but I mean, definitely, like, lyrically, definitely Nile, because they do all, like, that crazy Egyptian album. And
yeah, because I think their lead singer has a PhD in, like, Egyptology or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Well, you know, hell, you know, that's some good fodder to write your, you know, music about. If I could write lyrics about, like, my computer science degree, maybe I would.
Wow.
You know,
I don't know how interesting that'd be, though.
It wouldn't be interesting at all. It would be actually really boring. That's why I didn't finish it.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. So the cover art for Age of Winters is probably one of my favorites that I've seen in a very long time. How did you get Conrad Keeley from And You'll Know Us by the Trail of Dead to design it? Did you guys know him beforehand?
Yeah. JD's band, old band, Most Peabody's, had actually gone on tour with Trail of Dead before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Trail of Dead's real notorious for just taking local bands that they like on the road with them, which
yeah.
is totally awesome. And we, The Sword, was able to do that as well in April of 2005, I think it was.
Nice.
So, yeah, we went on tour with Trail of Dead for like a month. Basically did like the eastern side of the United States. And it was awesome. So, and, you know, became friends with Conrad, just hanging out over that whole month. And he was, like, talking to us about all these, you know, record cover ideas, because he does all the Trail of Dead stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this one that he had talked about, you know, this, like, you know, maiden with a shield and a sword. And it was
yeah.
like, oh, yeah, that's, man, that sounds like it.
Oh, yeah. So did, was he the one that came up with the idea and the layout? Was that all, like, is that credited to Conrad?
Well, the whole, like, layout and whatnot was my friend Matt Messner, but Conrad just did the front and back
mm-hmm.
in the disc.
Nice. Did he do the calligraphy as well? Because I know he's very good at scripts and types and stuff like that.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
No, I don't believe he did. I think that just might be a font.
Maybe? Oh, too bad. Okay, I'll try to wrap it up now. So, last question. If you could be one specific god from any culture, who would you be and why?
Oh, I don't think I would want to be any god.
If you were a god, like, right now, who do you think you'd be? Like, what's your strongest characteristic?
Oh, God, the ability to get along with others.
I can't pull a god.
So which god would I be?
I don't know.
Because
gods don't usually get along with each other.
Yeah, yeah. There's not like the one like god that's like, man, everything's cool, just chill. Like, there's not that god. There's not like
Greek mythology, Dionysus.
Sure.
Maybe? Yeah, the
as
guy.
As long as he's not involved in Scientology, that's cool.
No.
That's Dianetics, though, isn't it?
Yes, I think so.
Cool.
All right. Okay. That's that looks like it. Thank you very much, Brian.
Yeah, no problem.
For agreeing to do the interview. And you guys are coming to Vancouver October 24th with Trivium and Protest the Hero.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I like that sound.
All right. So I guess I'll see you guys there. One last thing. Could you?
Sure.
Would you be able to just quickly record a like station ID for me?
Probably not. I really don't feel comfortable doing those.
You don't?
No, sorry.
Okay.
I'm not John Paul Jones status yet. I don't really I don't want to jump the gun.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll give it a bit then.
Hey, sometime.
So
maybe in the future.
All right. I'll follow up on that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I had a blast doing this interview.
I did as well. All right. I'll see you in Vancouver, okay?
All right. Take care.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Charlie Harper from the UK Subs over in London, England, saying hello, Vancouver, on CITR 101.9 FM. Don't stop listening. Support your local radio.
of performing a Jacques Brel song, and this is another. A singer with a Spanish bum who sings for women of grade 13. I'd sing to them with a guitar I borrowed from a coffee bar. Well, watch it, don't know, doesn't hurt you. My name would be Antonio, and all my bridges I would burn. And when I give them some, they know I'd expect something in return. I'd have to get drunk every night and talk about virility with some old grandmother that might be decked out like a Christmas tree. But no pink elephants I'd see. I'd be as drunk as I could be. I'd sing that song they sang to me about the time they called me Jackie. If I could be for only an hour, if I could be for an hour every day, if I could be for just one little hour. In a stupid ass way. And if I join the social world, became procurer of young girls, then I could have my own bordellos. My records will be number one, and that's all records by the ton, or some by many other fellows. My name would then be Handsome Jack, and I'd sell votes of opium, whiskey and cane from Twickenham, or fancy queens and forty virgins. I'd have a bank on every finger, and every finger in every country, and every country without me, I still know where I wanna be. Surrounded by some Chinamen, I sing a song that I sang then about the time they called me Jackie. If I could be